3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. We'll start off in the Gospel of John this morning, new book. Go through John verse by verse. Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your book, Lord, that we can go to and get everything out of, Lord, that we need day by day, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for your love and mercy and grace. I pray, Father, that you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to say just the right thing at the right time. I pray, Father, that you open up your book to us. I pray, Father, that you'd be with each one here, Lord, and I pray that you'd give them something from thee this morning to sustain them and help them, Lord, to live for thee and live a closer holy life toward thee, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Gospel according to St. John, that's the first of them. Now, I'm going to give you the statistics on this book. We always do. These numbers here in the Bible is connected with something. I don't know exactly what they are. And maybe sometime somebody will figure them out. But the first one had this. The book of St. John has 21 chapters, has 879 verses, and 19,099 words. Now, all that is in the, it's there. The numbers are there for a reason, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it's there. The book was written probably between 85 and 90 A.D., and it's probably 90 A.D., somewhere along in that. Between 85 and 90 A.D., when it was written late. Of course, John wrote the book of Revelation, and it was written probably around 96 A.D., when he was put on the Isle of Patmos. And the same John wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, too. All right, now why this book was written. This book gives the reason why it was written. Turn to John 20. The reason this book was written is John 20, verse 31. We'll read 30 and 31. John 20, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written... reason. Why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. So that's the reason the book was written. And if you want to put out one portion of scripture for people to get saved, this would be the book to put out. Ion Paisley, I think is the way you pronounce it, the preacher, that Presbyterian preacher over there in Ireland, the one that the IRA and everybody else hates his guts, so you know he's doing something right. He went to the Ecumenical Council under Pope John the 23rd. While he was having this big Ecumenical Council, everybody, all the religions was going to get together, you know, and have a big council. Well, Ion Paisley went there, and him and all his people passed out 5,000 copies of the Gospel of John. There wasn't no tracts with it. All he was putting out was the pure Word of God, the Gospel of John. And that one little book right there. You know what they done? They arrested him. And they said that he was arrested for disturbing the spirit of ecumenicity. See? Just that little book right there is all he was doing, putting out the Word of God. I mean, he didn't put out nothing by Ruttman, or didn't put out nothing by... that guy up there in Pennsylvania, what's his name? The one that's got all the Catholic, huh? Yeah, Brother Dunlap. He didn't put out nothing like that. It was all just the pure Word of God. But it disturbed the spirit of ecumenicity, see? So that's what the Word of God does to the to the Catholic Church. And that's the reason we got a final authority, and we go by what this book says and not what any man says. The Pope walking around talking about thinking he's something, you know, with his two fingers up in the air and saying peace and kissing the ground. He's just a dirty, rotten sinner just like anybody else on here. I'm sure he ain't even saved, because he's trusting in his church to get him to heaven. And when you say that, see people right away, they think, because they sat there in front of the TV all day and read the newspapers, they think he's just a great man. He ain't. He's a dirty, rotten sinner. And he's going to hell if he don't get saved. See, I don't care how much the newspapers promote him and praise him, see. But that's what they've done. Jan Paisley. Did you know that they let a communist in this country, that woman that's in the parliament over there, they let her come in the country and speak at these universities over here. And Jan Paisley tried to get in and the Speaker of the House, that Roman Catholic over there, what's his? Who?
Tip O'Neill.
And Kennedy and some of them other ones wouldn't even let Jan Paisley have a visa to come back in the country, see? That's how crooked this thing's going on in this nation now, see? Everything's pro-Catholic. And this book here, see, is anti-Catholic, anti-religion. No matter what religion is, religion always works, see? Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. So this is anti-religion, this book is. All right, now, it's called The Gospel According to St. John. And a lot of people say, well, that's a Roman Catholic hangover, you know, because it says St. John. But turn to Ephesians first, Ephesians 1. There's nothing wrong with it. We're calling these books St. John, St. Luke, St. Matthew, and so on. Look at Ephesians 1:1. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus. Every Christian's a saint. Once he's saved, he's a saint. I mean, you don't have to die and don't have to have no church proclaim him as a saint. He's a saint whenever he gets saved. Look at Philippians, a couple more books over. Philippians 4:21. Philippians 4:21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. See, every saint. Now, the Catholic Church, they promote, they lift up a man after he's done good works, you know, all his life and died, and they make him a saint because they want to worship idols. Okay, that's the introduction. Let's start John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, that's the first verse right there. In the beginning was the Word. And that goes right back to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The beginning, Jesus Christ was back there in the beginning with God, see? He was God manifested in the flesh. And he's the Word, capital W-R-D. And this is talking about Jesus Christ. Let's look and see if it's not talking about him. Turn to 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20. John wrote the same John wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. First John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, talking about Jesus Christ, right above it, and eternal life. So Jesus Christ is the true God and is eternal life. And all that's tied in with the Trinity, see? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that shows you that, let's see, turn in 1 John 1, yeah, 1 John 1, 1 is connected with the same thing. That's a book connected with John 1, 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of God, the Word of life. That's a capital W-R-D, just like a capital W-R-D over here in John 1, 1. Now, a capital W, capital W-R-D is when a preacher gets up and say, I believe this is the Word of God, most of the time he's not talking about a small D, W-R-D. A small W, when you see a small W in the Bible, it's talking about, like I said before, it's talking about the words here in the print. A capital W is Jesus Christ in the Bible. Now, what they call the neo-orthodox position is the capital W-R-D. When they say they believe the Word of God, they're talking about the message contained in the Bible, see? The message. And the message, in other words, they don't believe these words right here are the words of God. They believe just the message. That's the neo-orthodox position. And they hate Jesus Christ, and they hate His Word, and they don't believe that they have a Word that they can hold on to and get a hold of and read and study. They believe that the Word is everywhere, you know, in the 50-some different translations of the Bible, and or in the original manuscript somewhere that nobody's ever seen. And it's we've got a book right here that's perfect and preserved. Now, this is some correspondence I'm going to read you here from John R. Rice. It's a written dispute with John R. Rice. And let's see, Herbert F. Evans. And I'm going to show you what I'm doing. The reason I'm doing this is to show you about the written, the capital W-R-D is the way they do this. What they really believe about the Word of God when they say Word of God. All right, it says, the approved method of the present carnival of unbelief, not to reject the Bible altogether, but to raise doubts as to portions of it and questions as to the uniform inspiration of it as a whole. And that's talking about Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that. And this is a letter to Dr. Rice. And He also says, if the book be not infallible, where shall we find infallibility? We have given up the Pope, for he has blundered often and terribly. But we shall not set up instead of him a hoard of popelings fresh from college. Are these correctors of scriptures infallible? It is certain that our Bibles are not right, but that the critics must be so. See, he's saying this. This is Charles Haddon Spurgeon quoting this, and he believed the Bible, see. And he says, now, Farmer Smith, I'm not anybody out there, when you have read your Bible and have enjoyed its precious promises, you will have tomorrow morning to go down the street to ask the scholarly man at the parsonage whether the portion is right or not. What he's saying here is if this Bible right here is not right, then whenever you read it, when you get through reading it, you have to go ask some scholar if that portion's right or not, instead of believing exactly what it says here. See, it's whether you got to preserve the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read all this stuff because it's a lot of junk. But on the last page over here, this is the main thing. Here's this is what he says, a letter written to Herbert Evans from John R. Rice. Said, I have in my hand a message from God, the eternal Word, capital W-R-D, of God. So he says it's a message, and it's not the eternal word, capital W-R-D. All right, then he said, this is cut out of the Soul of the Lord, April 1373. He said, I have a miracle in my hands in this book. I don't mean the paper. I don't mean the leather cover. I have in my hands a message from God, the infallible, eternal, capital W-O-R-D, Word of God. Says, he says, the message contained in the Bible is the Word of God, capital W-O-R-D, which is heresy. The Bible nowhere says it's a message. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable. So if you got a copy of the Scriptures, then you got the words of the living God up there in the third heavens. You got words where you can go to. Words of God. Now, the Bible says the small W says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And in Nehemiah 9:5 it says bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, that's the Lord's name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. All right, now turn to Psalm 138:2. Now, it says that Jesus' name is above all blessing and praise. But there's something even above Jesus' name. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. That's a small T on that truth, T-R-U-T-H. For thou hast magnified thy word, small W-R-D, above all thy name. So, you know what he's got above Jesus' name? Right, this book right here. It's above Jesus' name. Because this is the very words of the living God. See, this is all we have right now to know anything about God and eternal life and heaven and hell and Jesus Christ and who he is and what he is this word right here. So it's stupid to think that God would write a book that no one could ever get a hold of. No one could be sure what he's reading, see. You got to be able to get a hold of it, and this is it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, small t, for thy word is truth, small w. So that's the way you'll grow. When you get saved, if you don't get in the word, you ain't going to grow. That's just the way it is. You got to have that food to grow, just like a baby has to have food to grow. You got to have food. The way you get your food is through this book right here. And you sanctify daily as you read daily. If you don't read the Bible daily, you're going to be unsanctified. As far as sanctification is set apart, cleaning up, or whatever, you won't be cleaned up. You won't clean up your life for nothing. You'll still be just like the world if you don't get in this book and read it. Where the Holy Spirit can talk to you and through this book, through the words of this book, and show you things you need to get rid of so you can be a better testimony for Jesus Christ. All right. Another place that the reason it says words, talking about words, it says in John 6:63, it says, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's where you get your life, and this book is alive, see? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God communicates in words. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word, capital W-R-D, that God the Father sent down here to communicate with us as far as telling us about how to bridge that gap between us and him. He's the bridge between, he's the ladder, Jacob's ladder. That's who Jesus Christ is, that ladder. He goes from the Father to us. We can't get up there on our own. He had to have somebody sinless in order to get up there. Nobody's sinless on this earth. So, now, I got some similarities between the written Word of God and Jesus Christ, the capital W-O-R-D. And I'll give you these. First thing is both have two natures. The written word of God has two natures, and and Jesus Christ has two natures. Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man, that's a human nature, and he's called the Son of God. That's his divine nature, see. The Word of God, the Bible says, the small W-R-D, the Word, the Bible says, holy men of God, holy men of God spoke. See? So God used those men to speak. But then it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God inspired the Scripture. So there's two natures to that. Both of them loved and hated. People that love Jesus Christ usually love His Word. People that hate Jesus Christ hate His Word. I mean, this is the way it is. Both can be received or rejected. And turn to John 12:48. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Alright, it can be received. Both can be received or rejected. Alright, in that same context, look at James 1:21. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, WRD, which is able to save your soul. If a person is lost, that's on his way to hell, or receive what God said in His word, he can get saved. To receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. See? And also a Christian, if he'll receive what God says to him there, in 2 Thessalonians 2:19, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, small W-O-R-D, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, small W-O-R-D, but as it is in truth, the small W-O-R-D of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you believe what God says in this book right here, it's for you, it'll work in you. If you don't believe it, it's not going to work in you. That's just the way it is. You just go off back into the world once you get saved. And be a Laodicean, lukewarm, cold Christian instead of serving the Lord, doing what you're supposed to do for Him. All right, both will live forever. Matthew 24:35, and that's the verse that those kids quotes a lot that usually come. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And that's a small W-R-D. And of course, Jesus Christ will live forever. So both of them are going to live forever. Both are going to judge. Back to John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So that word is going to be there at the white throne judgment for lost people and for saved people at the judgment seat of Christ. This word right here is going to be there, and that's what's going to judge you. Now, of course, the judgment seat of Christ, everybody there will be judged according to the word, according to their works. They're already saved, but it'll just be rewards, loss of rewards, wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. So, but the white throne judgment, those words are going to judge because it says in John, this is what's going to send all those people to hell. John 16:8. And when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit. If the work of the Holy Spirit is not blabbering in some tongue, the work of the Holy Spirit is this. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's a sin right there, sending people to hell. They won't believe what Jesus, they won't believe on Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And this word is going to be at both judgments, and it's going to judge you. Now, the scriptures is used the same as God. Turn to Romans 9:17. And see, this thing is so close. The words, the small W-R-D and the capital W-O-R-D is so close. I mean, you just think about it. It's just the length of the letter there. Length of the W. That sometimes the word is used just like God. Romans 9:17. Says, For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Well, who said that to Pharaoh? God said that, see, over in Exodus 9. The scripture didn't say it, God did. But it uses the scripture as God, so that's just like God talking, see. Look at it again in Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So it said the scripture preached. Well, there wasn't any scripture back then. The scripture wasn't written about what happened back there in Genesis chapter 18 until Moses wrote it, which was years later, see? Hundreds of years later. But it says the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, the scripture preached, see? So they's close. They so close. Now I know God is up there and God is a spirit, and they worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And you can't tear up God and you tear up this book and these words here, this particular one's here. But this is the very words of the living God, see? So it's hard to separate them. Now, the last thing I give you on this is back to John 1:1. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's not the Word was a God like the New World Translation puts it. See, the New World Translation is Jehovah's Witness Bible, so they want to change it to suit their own little doctrines. So they make Jesus Christ as a little God, a created God over here. See, he's not God manifest in the flesh. He's a little created God here. And look at verse 14, the way you know that. Verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. So he's God. See, he's not a God. He is the God. So that is about as far as we can go on this one. And we'll take up verse 2 next week. And we'll stop there. All right.